Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
There's LeBron, way back. It might be. Cubs win. Holy cow, Cubs win.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley, they got Akeem, Hunt, Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three, hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
It's only four words. This one's for John.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs!
Welcome into Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm joining you this morning talking about a couple of blockbuster trades that came down the wire last night. One in the Major League Baseball circuit right before spring training begins next week, and then one in the NBA just before the trade deadline on Thursday afternoon. So we'll start with the deal in Major League Baseball. On Tuesday night, it was announced that the Los Angeles Dodgers had officially acquired center fielder Mookie Betts from the Boston Red Sox. Along with Mookie Betts, they're going to get David Price, 3 years, $94 million left on that deal. The Red Sox get in return, this was a three-team deal, so the Red Sox got Alex Verdugo, an outfielder from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Bruzdar Gratterall, a pitcher, from the Minnesota Twins, and the Twins got Kenta Maeda, a starter from the Dodgers. So let's look at what each team is adding. We'll start with the Twins here, as they're only getting the one player. Kenta Maeda, last year, Maeda's been a good pitcher, a guy you can slot into the back end of your rotation, maybe a fourth starter. He had a 4.04 ERA last year, went 10-8, 169 strikeouts with a 1.07 whip. On his career, Maeda has a 3.7 ERA, 47-35 one-loss record with 641 strikeouts and a 1.15 whip. I mean, really, the Twins needed some starters this year. That's one of the things they were looking for after adding Josh Donaldson at third base. And I think they figured, as I look at the structure of this deal, if I'm the Twins, I look at this and figure, oh, what the hell? Why not? I'll throw my hat in a ring. If I can give up one reliever in Bruzdar Gratterall and get back a back-end starter in Kenta Maeda with some upside, yeah, why not do that? So I think this is a really good move for the Twins. As far as the Red Sox go, I got to tell you, if I was a Boston Red Sox fan, I would be pissed looking at this deal. I mean, you give up Mookie Betts, arguably the second best player in baseball, and David Price, yeah, you clear some money, but really this was just the ownership saying we want to get under the $208 million luxury tax going into this season, and it doesn't look like they care about winning, at least from the ownership standpoint. They get back outfielder Alex Verdugo. He is under team control through 2024. So we'll take a look at Verdugo's stats really quick. Last season, he hit .294 with 12 home runs and 44 RBI. He only had 343 at-bats on the season, 106 games played. Had some injury issues toward the end of the season. I don't believe he played in the playoffs at all. So, not a bad player, but certainly not a guy that could ever match up to someone like Mookie Betts. And then Bruzdar Gratterall, Gratterall has very few appearances in Major League Baseball in his career. He was a rookie last season. I believe he should be a rookie going into next season as well, based on baseball's rules. But Gratterall had a 4.66 ERA, 1-1, with 10 strikeouts and a 1.24 whip. I couldn't find a whole lot on Bruzdar Gratterall, but really, does it matter when you're comparing what they're giving up in Mookie Betts and David Price? Red Sox fans have got to be kicking themselves right now. They had one of the best players in baseball, and just because ownership wants to save some money, they basically throw him away. I mean, did they get 20 cents on the dollar, 30 cents on the dollar? They didn't get anything near market value, and I don't know. I don't understand what the Red Sox are going for here besides trying to save some money. They won a World Series in 2018, and now they've basically thrown that team away and are willing to start over. And now we'll take a look at the Dodgers. This is where we're going to spend most of our time looking at this trade. Mookie Betts. Betts comes to the Dodgers on a one-year, $27 million deal, his last year of arbitration. He was able to avoid that arbitration by signing the $27 million deal. And he's going to be a free agent after this season. He's made it abundantly clear that he wants to hit free agency, and he's looking for a $300 to $400 million payday because he wants it for him, and he's doing it for the Major League Baseball Players Union so that he can raise that dollar amount, and guys can expect to make a little bit more money as the years go along. And really, you can't fault the guy. Mookie Betts, as I said, has been probably the second best player in baseball over the last several years. He won an MVP in 2018. Last year, his numbers did fall off a little bit, but he's not a bad player. I mean, let's compare these last 2 years with Mookie Betts. So 2018, Mookie Betts in 136 games played, 520 at-bats, scored 129 runs, had 180 hits, 47 doubles, 5 triples, 32 home runs, 80 RBI, so he hit that number twice in a row, 81 walks, 91 strikeouts, 30 stolen bases, and a .346 average. Just incredible, especially when you talk about that batting average, .346. He was getting on base at a .438 clip, slugging .640, his on-base plus slugging .1078, and had a WAR of 10.9. So wins above replacement. Mookie Betts added 11 wins by himself over the typical replacement player. And then, so we compare that to his 2019 season. Betts played in 150 games, so 14 more games in 2019, 597 at-bats. But he scored 135 runs, 176 hits, 40 doubles, 5 home runs, 5 triples, 29 home runs, 80 RBI once again. Increased his walk total by 16 up to 97. Struck out 101 times. And his stolen bases were reduced from 30 down to 16. But he still hit .295, so just under .300. .391 on base percentage. .524 slugging, that really took a dip from .640 in the 2018 MVP season, and his WAR was 6.8. So yeah, definitely not as good, but still a former MVP in the prime of his career, and I mean, this is a guy who really could push the Los Angeles Dodgers over the top when it comes to, they've won, I believe it's now 7 consecutive NL West championships. I don't see any reason why it's not going to be their 8th. And then we've also got David Price. David Price is a guy, he's got 3 years, $94 million left on a deal he signed with the Red Sox in, I believe, 2014. And David Price has been a disappointment with the Red Sox. He's been up and down. He did help them bring a World Series title to the team, but he's also had some noted struggles. Looks like he signed that deal with the Red Sox in 2016. He's had some noted struggles with the Boston media, and it was reported, and you saw in a few places when he did sign with the Red Sox, that he didn't really want to sign on the East Coast. It was more of going and making the best deal possible for him in terms of monetary value, and that it's another union thing where the union pushes you to make as much money as possible, not necessarily sign a hometown discount type of deal. The Cubs offered him a little bit less money. It sounded like that's where he wanted to be, either with the Cubs or on the West Coast. So hopefully with David Price, the Dodgers are looking at this. They do get a starter back to replace Kenta Maeda, who went to the Twins in this deal. And yeah, it's a lot of money, 3 years at $94 million, but He's got proven playoff experience. He's pitched very well in the playoffs between the Rays, a couple seasons in Detroit, and now with the Red Sox. He spent some time in Toronto as well. And hopefully just a change of scenery for David Price is something that the Dodgers can benefit from here. And before we talk about grades for this trade, let's take a quick look at the Dodgers lineup now going into this season. So ESPN staff writer Bradford Doolittle had gone through and done an analysis of all 30 lineups in Major League Baseball as we head into spring training for the 2020 season. God, I almost have to pinch myself as I say that. I'm so excited for baseball. But the Dodgers came out in Doolittle's report as the second best lineup in baseball before this Mookie Betts trade. So they do give up Jock Peterson going over to the Angels, and they also no longer have Alex Verdugo in the lineup. But they replaced Peterson with Mookie Betts. They've still got Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, the reigning National League MVP, Corey Seager, another year removed from his Tommy John surgery. So his stats are going to look to take a bump after into that second post-injury season. Gavin Lux, a rookie second baseman that they're very, very high on, and they think has all-star potential in the long run. And then Will Smith behind the plate. He ranked them before this Mookie Betts trade as the seventh best lineup in terms of contact, number one in patience and power. Not a whole lot of speed in this lineup, nor balance, but the Mookie Betts trade really balances it out. They were left-handed heavy with 5 to 6 everyday left-handed starters, and now Mookie Betts comes in right-handed, gives them a little bit more ability to move things around. And then coming off the bench, they're still going to have guys like Kike Hernandez. AJ Pollock was a free agent acquisition last season. Chris Taylor. It's incredible. I feel like this Dodgers team has a dozen everyday starters in this lineup. And I don't know how they're going to figure out how to get everyone time. But baseball has a way of working these things out. So it'll be fun to watch. Now let's go ahead and look at the grades. So in terms of grades for this trade, I'm going to give the Twins an A because Brusdar Graterol is all they gave up in this deal, and they did get a back-end starter, so basically gave up nothing. I'll give them an A. The Dodgers are going to get an A+. I feel like they got the two best players in this deal on top of the fact that they really didn't give up much of anything besides Alex Verdugo and Kenta Maeda, but both of those guys are replaced by what they're bringing in and Mookie Betts and David Price. And then the Red Sox, they're just trying to get off of money. And as a fan, I can't support that type of a move, especially when it involves the second best player in your league. So I'm going to give the Red Sox a C-, and it's only that high because they get Verdugo, who is under team control through 2024, and then Brusdar Graterol is just kind of a wild card. If he can pitch well and become a starter in that Red Sox system, then maybe this ends up looking like a little bit better of a deal, and maybe they got 40 cents on the dollar from Mookie Betts. But really, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm disappointed in this trade. I'm waking up this morning pissed off that this happened and this is all they got back. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk about the blockbuster trade that went down in the NBA. It was a four-team deal, including the Houston Rockets, Minnesota Timberwolves, Denver Nuggets, and Atlanta Hawks. So thanks for listening to Name Change Pending. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerome, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Welcome back to Name Change Pending. Let's take a look at the second blockbuster trade that went down on Tuesday evening. This one in the NBA. This was a 4-team, 12-player deal that took place Tuesday night. The largest deal in 20 years. So what happened in this deal is we've got the Rockets acquired Robert Covington, guy, a coveted player across all of the NBA, one of those 3-and-D type wings. Also can play some of the power forward minutes. Might end up having to play some center minutes with what the Rockets are doing with their lineup. They also get Jordan Bell and a 2024 second rounder via the Golden State Warriors. The Atlanta Hawks get back Clint Capela and Nene Hilario. So Clint Capela and Robert Covington, probably two of the biggest names in this deal. The Minnesota Timberwolves involved. They got Malik Beasley, The Minnesota Timberwolves got Malik Beasley and Juan Hernan Gomez from the Nuggets, and Evan Turner and Jared Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I believe, also came from the Nuggets as well. Evan Turner from the Hawks. And the Timberwolves also get that first-round pick they were looking for in terms of Robert Covington. They actually got two first-round picks in this deal. The second pick they passed along to the Nuggets, who also got Gerald Green. He's injured out for the year, expected to be waived so he can continue his rehab. Keita Bates-Jop, a first-round pick a couple years ago for the Timberwolves, Shabazz Napier, and Noah Vonleh, and a 2020 first-round pick from the Rockets. Let's take a little bit deeper look into this. So first of all, I mentioned this is the biggest deal, four-team, 12-player trade in the last 20 years, in nearly 20 years. So that in and of itself, it doesn't matter who is moving. That's going to make it a blockbuster right there. The Rockets have decided that they don't want to play anybody taller than 6'6". So, and they're 4-0 in the past week and a half without Clint Capella, and in a majority of those games, they haven't played anybody that's listed over 6'6". That may have something to do with the fact that the NBA actually is forcing accurate height and weight listings for their players this year, but pretty impressive. The last time a team didn't play anybody over 6'6" in an NBA game, we got to look back all the way to January 1963. Who remembers the Chicago Zephyrs? I got my hand raised. No, I'm joking. I have no clue who the Chicago Zephyrs were. But they didn't play anybody over 6'6" in a loss to the New York Knicks. Interesting note, that's also the last time the New York Knicks won a game. So it's been kind of a tough stretch for both of those teams since that time. But, yeah, so the Rockets are going all in on this small ball lineup. They're going to be playing Robert Covington a lot at the power forward position, P.J. Tucker playing at center. And it's been successful so far. Is it going to be successful over the course of 82 games? And then what is it going to be able to do in the playoffs? That's really the question I have there. I just don't trust the Russell Westbrook thing. I doubt that whatever the Rockets end up doing, it's going to make them a championship contender this year. And then in terms of the Atlanta Hawks, we look at this deal. The Hawks get a center. They get some veteran experience in Clint Capella. They also get Nene Hilario, a guy who hasn't played very much this season. But Capella, out of everybody in this deal, Capella's probably got the best stat line this season, averaging 13.9 points, 13.8 rebounds, and 1.2 assists per game. See if I can find how many blocks he's getting. I know Capella's always a menace around the basket as well. He's averaging 1.8 blocks per game. So Capella's one of those guys who sets good picks, rolls to the basket. He's always a threat to catch a lob. And I think it's a good pickup for the Hawks because they were desperate to get an adult in that locker room besides Vince Carter. They don't have enough experience on that team. They've got way too many young guys and they've really struggled defensively. So they're hoping Clint Capella can help them out. And then Hilario, probably an end of the bench guy, but he could give you 5-10 minutes if you need. And then we'll take a look at the Timberwolves next. So the Timberwolves, they're a team that's been very active already in the trade deadline. I think this was their third deal so far this season. They get Malik Beasley back. Beasley was a coveted guy from the Denver Nuggets and somebody who they just didn't really have room for on their roster. He was going into restricted free agency. They weren't going to be able to re-sign him, and they knew it. So rather than wait until he signs somewhere else and he leaves for nothing, they moved on from him. Beasley's averaging 7.9 points, 1.9 rebounds, and 1.2 assists per game. I expect all of those numbers to go up. He's going to be a starter in that Timberwolves lineup, and he's going to play 35-40 minutes a night. So Malik Beasley is going to be a guy who definitely benefits from this trade, or should benefit from this trade, assuming he can go over to Minnesota and play well. And then we'll look at the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets didn't get a whole lot back that's going to help them this year, and the talk is they're going to continue shopping, looking to improve this year's team, specifically using that 2020 first-round pick they got from the Rockets. So I mentioned Gerald Green. He's out for the year. He had a foot injury that required surgery before the season, so they acquired him, and the intention is to waive that contract and get out from underneath that money. Keita Bates Jop, kind of just maybe a change of scenario, hoping that they can find what made him a first-round pick a couple seasons ago. Shabazz Napier and Noah Vonleh, two fringe NBA guys at this point. But that 2020 first-round pick is something that the Nuggets are going to look to move on and hopefully bring back more to bolster this roster for the rest of this season. And for an NBA trade deadline that wasn't expected to see a lot of movement, wasn't expected to see a lot of big names traded, it really surprising to see this come down on Tuesday night. I didn't expect it at all. There was a lot of talk about Capella getting moved. Frankly, I expected Capella to end up in Boston if he was going to go anywhere. And who knows? Maybe the Hawks are still working on something, and they will end up flipping him to the Celtics. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I think there's still a lot of moving pieces in terms of this trade and what the teams involved might be looking to do. And this also could open things up and really let the floodgates flow for the rest of this 2020 NBA trade deadline. The deadline expires on Thursday at 1 p.m. Mountain, so that's going to be 3 o'clock Eastern, and name change pending. We'll return with a trade deadline recap on Thursday afternoon, so make sure and stay tuned. This has been your host, Brian Priest. Find me on Twitter at bpriest24, and thanks for listening to Name Change Pending.